Hey listeners, I'm Lily Smith and you're listening to The Product Experience, the podcast for product people that want to master their craft.
And I'm Randy Silver, and today we have the pleasure of speaking with Becky Flint, CEO and founder of Dragonboat.io, about how we manage product portfolios and how we become an outcome-driven product organization.
In this episode, we cover what an outcome-driven org looks like, how you transform into one, and how to spot an outcome-driven org from the outside. Becky has tons of tips on pitfalls to avoid and advice on how to do it right.
Wow, Lily, this intro has been strangely professional for us.
I know, Randy, it's because I wrote it. And now, quickly, before you start being really cheesy, let's get to the interview. The Product Experience is brought to you by Mind the Product.
Every week, we talk to the best product people from around the globe about how we can improve our practice and build products that people love.
Visit mindtheproduct.com to catch up on past episodes and to discover an extensive library of great content and videos.
Browse for free or become a Mind the Product member to unlock premium articles, unseen videos, AMAs, roundtables, discounts to our conferences around the world, training opportunities, and more.
Mind the Product also offers free Product Tank meetups in more than 200 cities, and there's probably one near you. Becky, welcome to the podcast. It's so lovely to be speaking to you this evening.
Hi, thanks for having me, Lily.
So before we get started with our topic for today, would you please give our lovely listeners a quick intro into who you are and kind of what you do and also how you got into product?
Yeah, thank you so much. So my name is Becky Flint. I am the founder and CEO of Dragonboat.io. For some of you who are not familiar with us, we are the fastly growing product and portfolio management platform for outcome-focused teams, product teams in particular. And we, you know, we have amazing customers in over 20 countries, including Miro, Chime, F5 Network. Prior to starting Dragonboat, actually, that's the reason leading me start Dragonboat is to work with amazing companies in product space, PayPal and Shutterfly and BigCommerce and so on, and definitely feel the need and challenges as company grow and building product. How do we drive outcome? How do we focus on customers? So ultimately leading to the starting of Dragonboat as well as this conversation.
And how did you yourself get into product?
Very good question. I started my career actually not as a product. I joined PayPal fairly early when it was a pretty small company. All the product managers fit into one room, as you can imagine. Wow. So I was brought into PayPal called a product program management, kind of like a product operations today, where I was leading international expansion, a global expansion. So as you know, when you launch a product like a PayPal in different countries, they're more than just the software and product. There's a legal, there's compliance, the office. Mm-hmm. And so the whole process of bring product to different markets and the product operations actually led me to ultimately from product operations program to portfolio to product management and the rest of the history.
So you've had a very interesting career and worked with some like very amazing people, product people as well. Yes. And I guess you must have it nailed in terms of like how to do this product management thing that we're all trying to do.
It's hard to say nailed. It's just a growing and learning experience. I would say over the last almost 20 years in career, I have seen product management evolve tremendously. Earlier was, you know, in the earlier days, prior to PayPal, in the earlier days, I know product management was more like order takers, that you have a business stakeholders who will write a marketing requirement document and send it to product, or they're in R&D or IT or some business stakeholder came to you to say, you know, build this and that's it. So that's definitely an era that we've gone through. And the second era, really building product customer love, I focus on customers, focus on iterations and experiences. And then, you know, we learned to say, hey, that's not enough. We have to stay competitive and being, you know, not just product that customer love, product has to drive business outcome. And then later on scaling product, when you start to have more than just one product team, have multiple product teams, how do you handle that? When you have one product really doing well, what's next? So that sort of from, you know, taking orders, serving product management to actually custom-driven product management to a product arrived right drives business outcome, and ultimately product actually drive portfolio outcome, which we can talk more later.
And so we were going to talk tonight about outcome-driven product development. But like, what is a kind of outcome-driven product organization?
That is actually very commonly asked question. I would say there are three dimensions or three levels. So the first dimension and level is something tied to the customer. So customer outcomes, so customer jobs to be done. And then we probably heard plenty of this on, you know, product is not a product. Product is solving a problem. The problem is the customer having, so that you drive the customer outcome. Therefore, you build a product solving customer, not just features. So that's definitely one level of that. And I think today, there are more and more product managers are familiar with that concept. Mm. That second part of that is sort of taking some of the old work coming back, because in the older time where you have sort of the marketing or business come to product, say, build this, obviously it's not great, but there's an element of that. A product has to drive business outcome as well as customer outcome. So that's the second part of it. If you have, you know, think about it where WeWork's amazing product, we love that. But if you don't drive, you know, economic part of the business, that's a challenge. You have to really tweak that, right? The third part of that is to another level, which we call it the portfolio outcome, where think about it, product doesn't stand alone, especially a digital product. You always have a competing intention. You know, you have your existing customers, you have new customer, you have your, you know, core market, let's say US market, you have international market, you have your SMB, you have, you know, merchant. So, and then you have a current focus, the business outcome, and a longer term, right? We know like a Polaroid is a great product. It was successful back then, but it's gone. And if you look at Netflix, it started with something completely different. And then we have a different company. And that's really tying to the portfolio outcome, to the outcome driven. So customer outcome iterates and evolves as technology and the customers actually become more savvy on what they want. Business outcome, obviously, still always a part of it. And then third one is not just the outcome for today, outcome for the future, not the outcome for one element, but for the whole holistic outcome for your entire product organization and even individual product managers too.
So is that really, you're still looking at the customer jobs to be done in that third one, in that portfolio outcome. You're still looking at the business outcome. You're just looking at it from a different time scale. We want to to solve this job to be done. We're just now looking at purely from a sunk cost tactical perspective. We're looking much more strategically.
It has it both ways. As in, one is customer outcomes. All the things we want to focus the product organization are competing against each other. There's a tension, right? There's, you know, you think about the customer outcome of which customer. There are different segments. Even you have one segment, there's new customers and existing customers. So how do you decide where you focus on? And that's sort of one element of the portfolio. The other elements of the portfolio, meaning the first level of a customer needs versus the higher level of a customer needs. Thinking about, I will use an example of a square. When they get started, they use this square dongle. But I don't know, you remember, it was a tiny bit of business. And now it's a 20, 30 billion business. They understand the customer needs, and then they really elevate and grow deeper and deeper into the customer needs, solving in a different way. So if you would just optimize the customer experience, solving the problem with the dongle and the better, cheaper everywhere, it will never become the company that we will have today. Same thing for PayPal. Like all the companies, the amazing companies that I used to work with are faced, like they are very successful from pre-unicorn into unicorn. It's because we take the first two and broaden it up in terms of understand customer needs at a different level and expanding to that, understanding different segments and business opportunities. So we decide where we allocate our focus from time to time. So you continue grow your product organization and obviously your business.
Okay, but most of us aren't lucky enough to work at one of these absolutely incredible companies straight away. How do you move your company from, you may be lucky, you may not be in a feature factory, you may already be in a product-led company, but how do you help transform from being product-led to outcome-focused?
A really, really good question. I would say a few things. Even for individual product managers, I think that sometimes we may or may not realize the power we could have. One person could change a lot of things, right? And using an example of, I mean, we probably heard of this, the Amazon Prime example, right? I mean, Amazon was already a outcome-focused company and so on. But as individuals, you still can't come in with your product ideas. That bring that product ideas, not in the concept of product ideas, but more of a market opportunity and how you tap into that market opportunity. Ultimately, regardless of you trying to pitch your idea to your executive team, to your, you know, revenue or business teams, if when you speak that in a way as opportunity driving the company to the future, that will become the future. And one of the example I experienced earlier on at PayPal was obviously everyone knew PayPal started as a P2P send. Well, maybe everyone know. And then PayPal became a very successful on eBay. And, you know, that was a big business for PayPal on eBay was, you know, 90% of the revenue at the, in the earlier days came from eBay. And, you know, obviously you have so much to do to optimize adoption, make it seamless and all that good stuff. But there's take someone brilliant to say, hey, for every merchant on eBay, there are hundreds of them not on eBay. They all have the same need. What if we support them? And that's both a great outcome for the potential customer we go after, which is a merchant trying to sell online, give them a way to pay. And it's also much, much bigger market opportunity for PayPal. And that's competing with your existing business because eBay coming to say, no, you don't want to support them because you want them to sell on eBay, right? So that's the where you have to really taking understanding the market opportunity, understand the higher level outcome, and you know pitch to your team, to your executive, so that can turn into a new product, can turn into a new opportunity drive outcome.
So how would you define an outcome? I mean, I know you've talked about a lot of examples, but one of the ways in which I've heard it be defined before by Josh Seiden is, I think he says, a change in human behavior that delivers results. But I think in your examples, you talk about business outcomes as well as customer outcomes. So, you know, is there a difference there or are the two kind of tied together regardless of which lens you're looking at it? And how do you know whether your outcome, you've kind of defined your outcome in a way that is useful and works for your business?
Right. So I think the change of behavior is a result of both the customer outcome and the business outcome. You know, if everyone goes to, you know, Blockbuster to get out their DVDs and, you know, then, you know, you kind of go with that route. But if you have something, you know, ultimately what's not changing is that people always want something faster, easier, cheaper. And, you know, so whatever you can make that faster, easier, cheaper, is something will be the outcome ultimately that customer are looking for. So that's the second level of the outcome we're looking for. The first level is like, how do I make my existing product work better? You can do your customer job better. And the second one is how do I make it faster, easier, cheaper? And that became a product innovation, a product design approach to figure out how by understanding what's the second level of customer needs and the building towards that. And then as going along the way, obviously we need to understand how we build in a way such so that it's sustainable from a business perspective. Maybe not in day one. It would take time, but you would think about that way so that it ultimately will become successful. So to your point, people's behavior change only when there's more value and then that value is available to them easier, faster. So that you really tie two things together.
Okay, so putting this into action, it sounds like there's a business goal and a product goal, and they may be slightly different things. How do you align the two and how do you tell the difference between the two?
Right. Business goals are almost always the same. Every company you talk to say, what is your goal? I want to grow revenue. I reduce cost to get more customers. Almost always the same. And the product goal is where they are coming to place. And this is a process that we call the strategic planning. What that means is that the product person, regardless that you are, you know, chief product officers, or you as individual product manager, you always convert business goal into product goal, which is the strategy you are going to take right now with the resources and timing you have right now to best achieve the business goal. So using example, when I joined this company, my previous company called Afizai, when I joined it, it's AI machine learning for fraud detection. When I joined them, they were growing fast. They didn't really have product organization yet and was like first person to help to build the product organization from the ground up. Back then was just running by engineering. So it's growing really well. There's a really sales team bring all sorts of ideas. So when we say we're going to, you know, double our revenue next year, there's so many things coming out to the roadmap, right? There are things saying, hey, we're going to build this feature. We can expand our new market. We can get an AML. There are multiple ideas. Each one of them would take the whole product team going to 5 different directions. So what we really had to do is to take the goal of driving this business outcome, let's say double our revenue, and look at all the things that we could do and understanding where we are. So then we have this whole strategic alignment process, understanding, okay, how much we can grow and expand our core market. Should we focus on core market or should we build on new? And then we decide as a, you know, executive team that between sales and partnership and marketing and, you know, obviously finance and the CEOs and CTOs to say, okay, very heated discussion on where we should invest, right? So ultimately we decide there is a new opportunity. Our technology and product can be tuned to adopt that, but we know it takes time. We cannot sell the next year. So we decided to do a, you know, 60, 20 and 10 and then 10 is a plan allocation. So we know 60% we're really working on our existing product with the intent to be faster to install, faster to implement, faster to billing so that we can faster realize revenue that will become a run rate for the next two. So then with the second two is really help us decide, understand the market, building the foundation, separate some of the tech platforms. So when we build another use case, we can build on top of that. And that's something was very eye-opening to, you know, multiple companies have gone through a similar exercise is that from a business goal, needs to translate it to product strategy, and that has to be point in time. So once you translate it into product strategy, just really go from goal to strategy to action plan, and the team can then to say what's the best way to reduce the implementation time, what's the best way to test and learn, what kind of things we are going to test and learn. So that's like that really tie from the very high level outcome driven to the next level of outcome driven to the team level outcome driven. It's 3 level of that. You have to connect them together.
And if you don't have that executive buy-in at the top levels of the business to become an outcome driven product organization, are you able to do some of this at the team level and the kind of the individual level? Or, you know, are you just going to be banging your head against a brick wall, as we say in England?
Yeah, I think you can still do things. And that's some of the product managers do. And especially when the company gets bigger, you're not holding executive role. You have much less control on the scope and influence you can do at different levels. So let's just talk about day-to-day product managers. And a day-to-day product manager quite faced out the challenge of saying, these are all the things I need to do. There's sales team coming to me about this, the customer success team coming to me about complaining existing customer problems. And I did a bunch of customer interviews. They have all those challenges. And what do I do? And then, so you can take an outcome-driven framework that do not think about these 3 areas. Let's just say 3 areas. So there are things you want to build as product manager. That's the vision. And you think that you can take the product, at least my piece, to somewhere. And there's obviously you need to support the sales team because they have big deals to support and new customers and so on. And then you have all the other. So instead you have 4 buckets of things. So how you go about it is instead of trying to negotiate a peanut butter, say 25% of things. I mean, you could, but not great. You would say, is this a product? What is the indicator of the success of the product? Because if you can drive that alignment and that make you great, if your product manager could talk to your managers, talk to your stakeholders, talk to your executives, say, here's what I think the success of the product, my area should be, then you already become outcome focused. You define the outcome you're driving towards. And from there, you can negotiate that with yourself first. Say, if my success measure are, you know, drive adoption and, you know, reduce, you know, onboarding time and whatever that is, and then you can put the features and ideas and requests and feedback from all places into these buckets. Then you can go share with your stakeholders who came to you as well as your idea to say, if we agree on this is a success for the product, and here are the best way to achieve each of these areas, you know, collaborate with your stakeholders, not manage your stakeholder, but collaborate with your stakeholders. See, did you see the same thing as they see? Are there other opportunities you haven't seen? Because the people do not see the same lens from team to team, from function to function. Once you give, you have a shared lens perspective, it's easier to drive conversation there. Once you have that conversation, it will say, hey, let's say our product success have a three top goals. One is a feature adoption rate. The other one is conversion rate. And then the other one is sticky, whatever that is, right? So then from there, you will say these are the different product ideas and features can drive to it. And then you can prioritize this way. You can allocate, you know, which one is more important. And then from there, you come back next month, next quarter, depending on your product velocity, right? If you can launch the product to the market in a weekly basis, you can measure outcome. So then you were checking together on the biweekly basis. If your product velocity is a quarter a month, you can't come, there's no need really to talking about the outcome because there are really not much change until you launch that. So that product velocity versus checking on your outcome and then close the loop with your stakeholders. This is the little mini, we call it continuous strategic planning as a product manager. It's just a different scale, but you will do that on your own scope you can control.
Sprig, formerly UserLeap, is an all-in-one product research platform that lets you ask bite-sized questions to your customers within your product or existing user journeys.
Companies like Dropbox, Square, Opendoor, Loom, and Shift all use Sprig's video interviews, concept tests, and micro surveys to understand their customers at the pace of modern software development so they can build customer-centric products that deliver a sustainable competitive advantage.
So if you're part of an agile product team that wants to obtain rich insights from users at the pace you ship products, then give Sprig a try for free by visiting sprig.com. Again, that's Sprig, Sprig.com.
Let's continue on that theme of perspective for a moment. So when you're working at a senior level, it's easy to say that your success is the company's success. But as you said a moment ago, when you're, you know, day to day, when you're, you know, a more junior product manager, junior sounds wrong, when you're normal product manager, you're usually working on one area of something, and that area is your entire world, and that's your perspective. So how do you measure the success of a product management organization as a whole, the product management team as a whole, and the success of individual product managers?
Yeah, this is not easy. So if you want to both drive an outcome-driven product organization, as well as a successful individual product managers that has to have a change agent, meaning your product executives have to come in to say, here are the top product goals and here are our strategies and how we drive to these top goals. Now, not every product manager's work all the time can immediately contribute to the top goal. So that's something we called, rock, pebble, sand, and a jar, meaning you have you heard of this? No. So that means is that the rock are the most impactful things that drives the outcome. So it could at a company level, could at individual, you know, product manager level and say, what are the most important part? Let's just say drive revenue. What are the most important part drive revenue in a quarter? What's the most important part drive revenue in a year? It could be something different. For product team, typically you look at things like driving revenue in a year. for example. So the ROC will be something that could become also shared goal that probably require multiple product teams to drive towards that, so that the shared goal measure became individual product team's goal. Now, if you do it, not everyone's working on the ROC all the time. So then at the product team level, you don't have the ROC associated to individual product manager, because in my area, it's not really quote unquote affected by the ROC. Then I have my own ROC. So you create your secondary product goal, which is the pebble in the sand from a portfolio perspective. So you're filling the big thing first and you add the smaller things, you add yet smaller things. So for the individual product managers, you can still define your goal that's in alignment to, for the most part, of the product organization's overall goal. And then you can build additional goal that's your product area, as long as they're aligned, not contradict to your overall product goal.
Yeah, that makes sense. I love the analogy of the rock, pebble and sand. I'd forgotten all about it, actually, until you mentioned it. It is a good one. So as product managers, you know, if we're looking for a role in an organization and we're, you know, keen to work in a very forward-thinking, mature product org, what are the kinds of questions that we should be asking in an interview, or what are the sort of the signals that a product org is actually really outcome-driven and not just playing at it?
Right. A couple of things that it could come pretty obvious. Number one is how is the product managers measured? It is really telling, because a lot of times people don't have an answer. So that's kind of already told you. That's not, right? You have to say, okay, product managers are measured by, you know, customer experience and so on. That is not an outcome-driven product organization. An outcome-driven product organization will have very clear metrics saying, okay, in every year or quarter, we have these goals, and then we coming together to decide our key metrics we're going to drive. Product areas, multiple product areas aligned to these key metrics, and so that we can. So that's outcome-driven product organization. If you say, hey, product managers, you own your roadmap, you own your customer experience, that is not, because they actually don't have an answer. They just gave you a very generic answer. And the second one is it may be counterintuitive, but the key thing you ask, or maybe even before you ask, you can do research, say, what are the big things that a company produce and how does it relate it to the customer? So it's almost like don't tell, just show. And if you see a company like they've been around, it's always have the same thing and not much of an announcement to others, and then you'd be like, hey, why is it, you should have new things coming out every year, not from a feature perspective, but for a reason. So I using an example of a PayPal, using an example of Square, the same thing. They started it with something small, and then they start adding new things to solving the same customer. Intuit is another example, right? So they have a very clear understanding of their customer. Their customers, like, you know, for Square and Intuit is like a small SMB merchants, right? PayPal is like online payment of all sizes. So these customers have a lot more needs than just taking payments. So payments and shipping and credit and, you know, services, all these elements of the company indicate that companies are innovating towards solving customers' problem better. Amazon's the other one, Netflix, they always have something very new. And if they don't, that's another thing of how much they really value outcome at the level beyond business, at the level beyond what it is today.
So if we want to move to an outcome-driven way of working, what kind of things do we need to do to get ready for that? Like, how do we make sure that we're set up for success?
I will sigh, because it's really hard. The reason I'm saying that there are two ways of doing this. One is a bottoms-up way, and the other one's top-down way, or somewhere in the middle. I think where I can almost use the example of years back, there's a whole agile movement, move away from, you know, obviously waterfall to agile. And that whole process are adopted by company in different ways. Some companies adopted it with, you know, small teams, they bottoms up, they test and learn, and they see how it goes. And without a top executive support, And those took a really long time, and many of them not successful because you fundamentally change how the organization think and they do. Now, if you just have the top down say, hey, tomorrow everyone go agile or tomorrow everyone become outcome focused, it's also not going to be successful because that means so many things to different people. So I would give you two examples. So one is a better scenario, which is you have both a change agent at the executive level saying, hey, for us to be stay competitive and stay on the market. By the way, it's not a joke. It's real. For every company today, if you're not outcome focused, both from the customer perspective and from business perspective, it's not going to be around. You know, we have plenty of examples. And, you know, as recent as just, you know, I think what was it? As recent couple of years that companies could be doing so well and they gone. And because they didn't, they just look at the first thing and then they really expanded to it, and then they exhaust all the possible growth and competition coming with something different, solving the same problem but the higher level. So having the executive level buy-in to say we need to convert from a feature-based, from answering to business stakeholders to an outcome-based, and really understand the market, the customer, and economic dynamics is something critical to build a foundation. But executives cannot be the ones that do the work. So they need an exchange agent in at the team level to say, how do we bring it home? And it's not really, it's not like you change so drastically what you do. It's just a change in how you do it, but not the cadence is the same. Do you still create a roadmap? Yes. But how do you create a roadmap is different. Do you still have your, you know, annual planning or quarterly planning and a scrum? Yes. But how do you do is different. It's no longer be, you know, most of the time when you, let's just talk about from connecting goals to teams tasks, right? What happens is there's a goal and there's probably some strategic discussion offsite and so on. And this is just somewhere in a room, in a meeting, had a great conversation. And everyone walk out, feels great. That's the end of the story. The context never carried over to the team. So from a team perspective, they don't have the structure, the guidance, the focus, and alignment on product strategy. So what can they do? They can only focus on, here's my customer. How do I make them happier? How do I provide, you know, features, make their job easier? And so, yes, this is the outcome from a customer perspective, but they're not moving the needle. So we still taking the same sort of operating rhythm, if you will. You do your annual planning, you do your quarterly alignment, but not planning. It's more of say, we align on as a company, what we're going to focus on in next 6 to 12 months. Focus, not feature. Focus is different from feature. So we say, we're going to focus on conversion. We're going to focus on, you know, expanding to new market. We're going to focus on maybe 2 to 5 things, no more than 5, no less than 2. If you have just one thing, probably not good. So you need to kind of have that kind of focus. Then you will decide what is the big rock driving this focus, because those big rocks, it will also align the rest of your team, right? Because nothing meaningful is small, right? Can't start small, but nothing meaningful is small. So then you would work with multiple teams to also solve a lot of problems of contention, confusion, and local optimization. So that's definitely something will go there. And then the team, then they have the sort of the one is support a strategic goal, the other one's just improve their own product areas and coming up with better solutions to a strategic goal. So I know it's a long, winding answer. Are we hopeless as individual product managers? Just, you know, kind of, I think it depends on the company. Some company, it is harder. You have less, you need more buy-in. And if you are a ambitious product manager, and that's probably not the best environment for you, you know, right? And if unless you're like, you're just like to make, in at least for now, like I just launched a product or half the product has a lot of things to improve on, there's still a lot of room to grow in terms of reach to the customer outcome we set out to do when we started, because it takes a lot longer than we think to get to where we need to be. That's okay. So it really depends on where you are in terms of your companies and your products maturity or level at the customer. But I would say if we want to just change it completely from a feature driven request and feedback driven kind of environment to an outcome driven environment. Ideally, we want to have a change agent at the executive level, as well as one or two people at the middle level. So then we'll drive that kind of cultural change in how we do things, not the process itself.
Becky, this has been fantastic. I definitely want to ask you about change engines, but first, I just need to promise that we're not going to pull out the quote of, are we just hopeless as individual product managers? Okay, so speaking of change engines, I have gone into companies any number of times and potentially, possibly decided by myself that I was going to be a change agent. It did not always work. I think I've learned some things along the way, but when you go into a place and you see that it does need to change, how do you move that? You said you need a change engine at the executive level as well as at the team level. If you're not at the exec level, is there a way to try and move the exec level in that direction to try and get some sponsorship for change?
Yeah. So making a change is just like building a product. So we always call it a process as a product. And when you make a change, you're changing that product. It's just like any product change, you use a behavior. So when we're trying to build a change of how organization work, you treat it as a product. That first, the people have to feel the pain, and then they have to feel like we need to do something. So personal example, I started the PayPal when it was really small, and it was growing very quickly. And the way we plan our product and deliver roadmap became harder and harder because we have a lot of dependencies and everyone has different needs. All the countries that were doing international expansion, all these countries that have a different, they are kind of crying and yelling and saying, we're more important than the others. And then we need other teams to support us. It's very challenging. So at that time, also, we just had a new head of tech and business operations that runs, you know, engineering and collaborate with the product. So I came to him and proposed saying the way we are planning our product and across teams is not working. We're stalking. And then I pulled data, you know, I did some homework. I pulled the data to show that 90% of the product require five or more teams. Therefore, become impossible to coordinate between teams, and also show sort of the demand of resources. Like basically, you know, you get a 5x demand in 2 quarters than everywhere else. Like these data really show there's need for change. And then, you know, also there's a timing, right? And you have a new leader come in and a leader is more open to changes. So then I was given this a pretty large responsibility to build, ultimately become a portfolio management for the entire PayPal. Not only to build a process and build planning, I build this job family itself called a portfolio manager that wasn't even there. And then we had like, you know, like the job functions and the levels and the responsibilities. So that's really cool. I would not be able to do it as a, you know, a regular level product manager to have this sort of organizational impact. But the change agent is by understand the timing, understand the problem, communicate well, and get an executive sponsor, then work with the rest of the team. You know, again, it's not easy. Nobody wants to change. And many people don't want to change. So get them buying as well and take time and go iteratively. But that's what happened. And today, still, you go to PayPal as a portfolio manager. Way back in the days that didn't exist.
Becky, it's been amazing. And we've unfortunately run out of time to cover any more stuff. But before you go, I know you're hiring for a couple of product roles at the moment. And do you want to just give a quick shout out about Dragon Boat as well and what it's about in case anyone's interested?
Yeah, thank you so much. Yes. So Dragon Boat is a platform built for outcome-driven product organizations. Not only we hire product managers to help build our product, we're also hiring product managers to be the, you know, sort of change agent to all our customers to know how not only understand the needs and help them to bring the best practices along with the tooling into their organization. As you know, as we know, making change require both the need and the people and the process tooling. Without proper tooling, you can't really have a visibility, have the alignment. Imagine we would use sticker notes to do Agile. It's never going to happen. So once we have the right tool, it happened along the way. So would love to, share more and go to dragonboat.io about Dragon Boat and our team, as well as the mission we're on to change everyone from a output focused to outcome focused.
Amazing, Becky. That's such a good way to end. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Lily and Randy. It's been fun.
So, Lily, I think I've learned something today. I learned that I've been doing this all wrong.
What, you finally figured that out?
Yes, 150, nearly 150 episodes in, I finally figured it out. But fortunately, Becky was professional enough to tell me how to fix it. So maybe next week I'll start getting it right.
And if you enjoyed that, you can always subscribe to hear more from Randy and Lily on the product experience. Our hosts are me, Lily Smith, and
me, Randy Silver.
Emily Tate is our producer, and Luke Smith is our editor.
Our theme music is from Hamburg-based band POW, that's P-A-U. Thanks to Arne Kittler, who runs Product Tank and MTP Engage in Hamburg, and plays bass in the band, for letting us use their music. Connect with your local product community via Product Tank, our regular free meetups in over 200 cities worldwide.
If there's not one near you, you can consider starting one yourself. To find out more, go to mindtheproduct.com/producttank.
Product Tank is a global community of meetups driven by and for product people. We offer expert talks, group discussion, and a safe environment for product people to come together and share learnings and tips.